Getting very close to the end. Today's daf is Tav Gimel. Tomorrow, we'll finish the Masechet. Okay. Toward the end of the Mishnah on Kaf Bet Amud Bet is where we finished. Three lines from the bottom. V'im me tachat yado patur. This brings us back to the whole Rotzeach b'shogeg. So if, while you're the Shliach Beit Din, you're giving Malko to the person and he or she dies, you're patur. If you hit him one extra time and then the person dies, then he goes to your meklat, because then we call that horeg b'shgaga. Al yado nit'a. Oh, wait one second. So according, okay, so if he dies, that's considered b'shgaga. But the question is, if he did it b'mezid, in other words, if he accidentally gives an extra mak. The question is, what does it mean, hosiflo ritzuachat? Does it mean he did a b'shogeg or b'mezid, right? The point is that they assessed him what it was, and he accidentally kills the person, so that's an accidental death, and he goes to Yermiklat. But if he added and decided, I'm going to hit this person an extra time, then it already becomes karov l'mezid. And as he wasn't trying to kill him, so it's not how he got b'mezid, but it's karov l'mezid, no longer goes to Yermiklat. What if they make a mistake in the counting? Okay, we're going to see later that there's a dayan standing there, and he counts out the makot. So if he makes a mistake, let's put it this way. Anytime he's going to make a mistake by killing the guy, by adding an extra one by accident, it's always going to be because the dayan messed up on the numbering. So if that's the case, shouldn't the dayan be responsible? And the Rivan even says, remember the Rivan in place of Rashi, he says it's not the same as he kau asara b'nei adam. Okay, if we're getting to the end of all of our Masechet de Nezikin of the Bavas and then Sanhedrin and Makot, so now we go back to this case we saw of 10 people hitting one person. Maybe you could say the Dayan and that person are equally responsible because the Dayan messed up on the count and then he did the hitting. But what's the difference? That when the Dayan does it, the Dayan isn't actually hitting. He kuas or abin adam, everybody had a part of the hitting. But here, they call him a goses bidei adam. In other words, there he was about to be killed because someone before already made him into a goses. In this case, it was really all the shliach's fault. And then the question is, right, wouldn't you say, well, he's just a shliach beitin? But we say ein shliach l'dvar avera, right? He didn't exactly do an avera; it was by mistake. But they still use all the same musagim there, and they also say that he should have paid better attention to the dayan's counting. Because yes, the dayan made a mistake, but he's equally responsible to pay attention to how many makot is giving the guy, because this is such a, you could really accidentally get into a situation like this, and therefore only he goes to galut. And the Dayan is not responsible at all, according to this, which is interesting. Nit kalkel. Now we have a strange thing, which is, what if they have an accident? They urinate or defecate while they're getting the malka. So, bein biri'i, bein b'mayim, patur. Okay, whether it's defecating or urinating, as soon as they do that, that's already v'nikla chichalei necha. It's already a huge embarrassment. And therefore, they're patur. Rabbi Yehuda Omer ha'ish biri'i v'ha'isha b'mayim. Okay, he says it's not so much of an embarrassment for the man if he urinates, only for the woman. For the woman, it's a huge embarrassment. For the man, not. Okay, my time. So now there's a bit of a debate about what this question is about. But let's assume we're talking about why is it that, okay, we have to go back to the beginning, right? I'm trying to remember now what the different options are. If the question was on, what'd you say? No? Okay. So what's the reason for, I have to just remember which one. What? Right. For two in the, is that it? No, one second. Right. Well, the reason it's confusing is my taima, and then they say mishum nikle. It's because we want to embarrass the person. Okay. So because of that, there's two different reasons. Either is, it's why do we tie him to the, if you remember, the first thing was that we tie his hands to this amud. And then he bows down, right? He bends over. So some people say that that's because of that. And then, some say it's because of tearing off his clothing. Right, which would also make sense. That it could be is why did they tear off his clothing? Because it's to embarrass them. By the way, someone asked me a question online about, it doesn't talk here about the woman, whether we tear off her clothing. If you notice, when we had the sota, we had this whole discussion, do we tear off the clothing? And also when they did skila. Okay. Here it actually doesn't mention the woman at all, which is interesting.
Well, in the safe it mentions the woman.
In the what?
In the safe.
Right, in the safe it mentions the woman, and it doesn't mention her at all, which makes it sound like we rip off her clothes also in this case. And then the question would be, why there do we make a distinction where we were worried about her being embarrassed, and we were worried there were a bunch of different issues there, and it could be that this is done in the courthouse and maybe not in a public forum, whereas the skila is always done much more in public. Maybe that's why. It's unclear why and the other one, the sota, was done. We were worried about the perchei kuna seeing her, right, and being attracted to her. And here it doesn't appear. And again, it could be this was done in a much smaller forum, and that maybe that's a reason. Yeah, what did you want to say, Sharon?
It's interesting that they don't talk about whether this is public or not.
Right, it doesn't mention if it's in public. Now, you have to remember, the Torah says, V'chol ha'am yishmu v'yirau. So those are all in the mita cases, and particularly in the skila. You know, there were four cases where it was mentioned. So it could be that it's obvious that this isn't in public, and it was obvious that was in public for those reasons. But you don't have to make as big a spectacle, right? Every time somebody does something wrong, well, not everybody watches, but when it's a big deal, and nowadays it's different, right? Everything gets televised, right? When it's a big court case, so it's all televised. Everybody sees everything, but or on the internet, but. If it's something small, right, even it's the same thing, really, right? Nobody would put on TV some small thing that somebody got for some random thing they did, right? So it makes sense that this wouldn't have been in public, and maybe that's why it's less of an issue here. Although, you have to say, in other words, all with that, they said, and this whole thing about the re'i and the, you know, and the urinating is all about embarrassment. So there's obviously embarrassment in front of, there's obviously some people there. So, it's a...
Embarrassment doesn't necessarily mean in front of others.
That's true. You could be totally... First of all, there are obviously people there, even if there's not a lot of people there. There's the dayan. We're going to see there's three dayanim, and there's a shlich beit in there, because each dayan does something. So there's at least four people, so that could be considered sufficient embarrassment. Yes, especially for a woman. But even a man would be humiliated. That's why, again, you could see maybe he's much more humiliated only if he defecates and not if he urinates. Okay, so my time, so what's this reason? Mishum nikle, again, whether the question is about the
bending over or the clothing.
Right, the bending over or ripping off the clothing. Amar of Shesha, Mishum Rabbi Lazar ben Azariah. Minayin l'ritzuah shehi shel egel. How do we know that we make the ritzuah has to be of egel? Why does it have to be from an egel? Dichtiv arba'im yakenu v'samich le lo tachsom shor v'disho. Ah, smichu parshiot. Okay, right after arba'im yakenu lo yosif, it says lo tachsom shor v'disho. Before we use this to show that it has to be a lo tachsed, it's like lo tachsom shor v'disho. Right, what's lo tachsom shor v'disho? When the ox is, we're on the fourth line. When the ox is threshing, you're not allowed to muzzle the ox. Okay, and you have to allow him to eat what he wants to eat. You can't muzzle him. So, what do they say? Oh, so therefore it has to come from a shore, and an egel is a baby shore. V'amar av sheisha mishumar v'lazar ben azar. Yeah, now if we're already darshaning smichu parshio, we're going to darshan a whole bunch of other smichu parshio. Minai, the first one they're going to darshan is right after lo tachsom shor v'dishor. What comes? The Yavama case. Minai li Yavama shenafla lefnei mukat shchin she'en chosmin ota. Okay, here they're making a play on the words chosmin. Chosmin there means don't muzzle him. Here it means don't force her. Okay, how do we know that if a Yavama is supposed to marry the brother of her deceased husband, remember, he dies without kids, so she's supposed to marry the brother, but the brother has these boils all over him and it looks disgusting and she doesn't want to marry him. How do you know that we don't force her to marry him? You know, that you might have thought that maybe we can force her to at least be Mekayim the Mitzvah of Yibum and then she can move on. But even that we don't force her to do, meaning she can do Chalitza instead. Dichtiv lo tachsom shor b'disho b'samechle ki yeshvu achim yachdav v'chule. The section of The Yavama comes up immediately after, the mitzvah of Yibum, comes up immediately after Lo Tachsom Shor B'disho. So they learn from that that Enchos Minotana, that you don't block her from doing what she wants to do. We allow her, you know, they're making this comparison, right? Just like the Shor, you allow him to do what he wants, also the woman, she's allowed to do what she wants here. V'amar Sheisha B'shumar V'lezer Ben Azariah. Now we're moving to a totally different section in the Torah. Kol ha-mevazeh et ha-moadot ki'ilu oved avodah zarah. Dichtiv, Elohim ha-secha lo ta'aseh lecha, v'samech le et chag ha-matzot tishmur. Okay, this is in Sefer Shemot, in Perek Lamed Daled, toward the end. There's a section, it says, Elohim ha-secha lo ta'aseh lecha, and then it says, et chag ha-matzot tishmur. So now we say, why are these two psukim juxtaposed? To show anyone who disgraces the chag is as if he worships avodah zarah. Now, there's two very different explanations given. What does it mean, mevazeh et ha-moadot? Some people say this means actually disgracing chag, okay? And then what is the meaning of this statement? We're going to see, according to each interpretation, it means something totally different. If you're mechalel yom tov is basically, those are the tenets of our belief, right? We have this historical connection to all the chagim, and if you deny that, then you're basically denying God and you're worshiping avodah zarah. That's one way of reading it. The other way of reading it is that this is one of those statements that we've seen before that's trying to encourage people to keep certain mitzvot that they're not actually keeping. And what are they talking about? Mevazeh et ha-moadot, chol ha-moed. We're talking about those who do melacha on chol ha-moed. Okay, most people know there's an isur melacha on chol ha-moed that is not widely held. Right? Most people do work. Right? They do melacha. The question is, what melacha is asur? And you know, most people don't go to work, let's say, but they, you know, if you live in Chutz Laaretz, most people actually do go to work. And yeah, you know, there's heterim of Davar Ha'aved. It was obviously a very complicated sugya because it was a lot of days not to work and it created all sorts of issues. And what kind of melacha are we talking about, right? Some people don't, are makbid not to write and not to, you know, but others are not. It's a very open game there. And because of that, the rabbis were trying to strengthen it. So what'd they do? They said, oh, if you do that, you're like worshiping avodah zarah, right? It's a way of telling the people, scare tactics, right? We've seen this many times in the Gemara where they use scare tactics. So it doesn't actually mean you're worshiping, as opposed to the first explanation, it really, it's like you're worshiping avodah zarah because you're denying the tenets of our belief. Here, it's just saying, well, you know, don't do it. And if you do it, it's as if you're worshiping avodah zarah. They tried to strengthen it. Okay. And the question is, right, why would one choose one over the other? So I think, you know, there's a big debate about whether Isra Malacha on Chol HaMoed is Doraita or Dorabanan. So if you hold it's Doraita, then it makes sense to say this is talking about the Doraita. If you hold it's Dorabanan, then it's hard to say that you're worshipping Avodah Zarah for being over on a mitzvah Dorabanan, and then you'd be more likely to say, if the Rambam in fact says that it's the Chagim themselves, okay, Chilul Yom Tov, and not Chol HaMoed. Okay, more smicho parshiyov. Amar Rav Sheshet Mishumar Belazer Ben Azariah. Kol ha-mesaper lashon hara, v'chol ha-mekabel lashon hara. If you speak lashon hara, you accept lashon hara, you hear lashon hara. V'chol ha-me'id edut sheker, and if you testify falsely, ra'oy la-hashlichol l'klavim. Okay, you should be sent to the dogs. Dichtiv, la-kelev tashlichun oto. Right, that's about the nevela. Right, basar basadet trefa lo tochlu. Right, if you find a meat in the field, don't eat it. La kelev tashlichunoto v'samichle. And right after that, it says lo. Right, it's the next pasuk. It says v'lo tisa shem hashav. Okay, what does that mean? Lo tisa. First of all, you have to read the whole pasuk. Lo tisa shem hashav al tashet yadcha im rasha liot ed chama. So the second part is very easy, right? That means don't testify falsely, so therefore they connect that one. How do we get to Lashon Hara v'lo tisa shem hashav? Right, it means don't take the God's name in vain. But kare beinami lo tasi. Don't, how do they translate lo tasi? Don't speak. Don't take it with you. So don't speak shem hashav. Don't take false things with you. Don't hear them, don't speak them. Okay, and it means about false things. So both false testimony and lashon hara. Okay, we're done with all the smicho parshio. Now we're moving back. Ushtei ritzuot. If you remember, there were these two ritzuot of a chamor that they would kind of lace through the whip that they were using. to the through the ritzuot that were made of the shor. So why shachamor? Why is it important that it be made from a chamor? From a shor, we learn from lo tachsom shor b'disho from the smicho parshiot. That's how we got off on the tangent. What about the chamor? Kididari shahu galilai aleja rab chista. This guy from the Galil darshan this. There's a famous pasuk in Yeshayahu, Yadu ashor koneu v'chamor evus ba'alav, Yisrael lo yada. And it's saying, even a shor and a chamor know, right, the shor knows his master, and the chamor knows evus ba'alav, he knows where his food comes from, he knows who's giving him his food. As there, it's, the chamor is obviously seen as a lesser animal than the shor. The shor knows its owner just by knowing its owner. The chamor just knows him because he gives him food. So he gives him food, he realizes, oh, I'm getting food from this person. So he understands. But Yisrael, who are supposed to have much more intelligence than these two, right, don't even know God. As Amar Kadosh Baruch Hu, Yavo Misha Makir Evus Ba'alav, V'Yipara Mimisha Eino Makir Evus Ba'alav. Right, so here comes in the chamor, right, who knows exactly who's giving him food, will be the one to punish, to knock sense into the person who doesn't even realize that God is above him and therefore sinned. Yada tefach. Okay, really the important part is the continuation. So it had this handle that was a tefach. And then, just finding it inside the Mishnah. Urechavat tefach, and then rosho magad al pi kreso. Right, so then the whip should be as long that it reaches into the middle of his abdomen or her abdomen. So Amar Abaye Shmamina Kol Chavachad Lepum Gabe Avdinale. It sounds like there were unique whips for each person because if it gets to the center of their abdomen, well, different people are different sizes. We're going to need different ritzuot for everyone. So Amar Le Rava Im Kein Nafish Lehu Ritzuot Tuva. What you're going to have like in the Beiti, they're going to have sizes. Okay, size small, extra small, small, medium, large. Right? It seems crazy. Ella Amar Rava Avak Teitle Ibai Mikterbe Kibai Mirpele Kibai Mikterle Kibai Mirpele Mirpaba. So what would you do? It was adjustable. Right, they had a loop there that you would kind of make it longer or make it shorter. That makes a lot more sense. Okay. Malkinoto. Now we had that Malkinoto, shlish milifanav, ushtei ado milacharav, which means a third on the stomach and two-thirds on the back.
How do they logistically do the stomach?
Yafeh, it's a very good question. How do they logistically do the stomach? It's unclear to me. Someone actually wrote to me the question. I tried to look it up. From what I read, it seems like they're bent over, and you can somehow get underneath and whip them from underneath because there's still, right, it was a tefach and a half high, and a half high, which is a reasonable height, and somehow they would get under and whip them from under, it seemed from everything I read. Okay. Which, by the way, a little bit is shomer al tzniut, if you think about it. If they're bent down rather than up, you know, at least for the women, it's a little more tzniua position.
It's dangerous to hit them on the belly.
I don't see how you'd recover from this in any case.
No, but it's like it's a woman that's pregnant or the man that's like sensitive organs. Seems so dangerous.
Yeah. Well, again, that's
so
why they assess the people.
You hit them on the right side and on the left side and then in the center of the back, two-thirds. Mm-hmm.
So from what I understood from the back, it's like one on by each shoulder blade, like half on one side and half on the other side. Yeah, hard to exactly understand how this worked and how people recovered from this and how hard, because it did say b'chol kocho, it seems like a pretty strong hit. Hard to understand. Also, we don't live in a world where people whip other people, so it's hard to swallow all this. Okay, so now the question is, where do they get this from? B'nahan emile, Amar Rav Kahana, da Amar Krav, v'hi pilo ha-shofet, v'ikau lefanav kedei reshato b'mispar. So now notice what it says here. So the shofet puts him down, and he hits him lefanav, okay, before him, kedei reshato b'mispar. But how do they read it? Lefanav kedei reshato b'mispar. Before him, meaning, right, one on the front and two on the back. So how do they understand this? Risha achat milefanav, shtei rishio me'acharav. Okay, I don't know exactly how they get to the shtei rishio from here, but the drasha is milefanav kedei reshato. So they say, milefanav, you get one set, and then two more sets me'acharav. Ein malkinoto. Okay, this is, ein malkinoto. can't find the words in the Mishnah. What is this? Ve'eno, oh, right. It doesn't exactly say the same words in our text. It says, Ve'eno makeoto lo me velo yoshev elamute. Amar of chista amar of yochanan, minayin l'ritzua shehi muchpelet. How do you know it's doubled over, like we described before? Shneemar vihipilo. Some people say, you read this as vihichpilo, right? It's like chpil to double and hipil. Behind me by the gufe, but wait, don't we need vihipilo? Like we said before, that he's leaning over. Imkein lichtov kra yatehu. My hipilo shma minatarte, right? If you wanted him leaned over, you would have said yatehu. Hipilo means both, we push him down, right? He's leaning over. And like vihipilo, that we double the ritzua. Bahamake makebi yado. Bechol kocho. Tanu rabanan. Here's a very interesting machloket. Tanakhama says the person who's supposed to hit has to be someone who doesn't have a lot of strength but has a lot of knowledge. So if he doesn't have a lot of strength, right? If he has a lot of strength and not a lot of knowledge, what are we worried about? He's going to hit him too much and not really think about it. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, afilu chasirei mada v'yitirei koach. Even people who are very strong and don't have a lot of knowledge can still do it. And Amarava, Kavate de Rabbi Yehuda Mistabra. Makes more sense, actually, to say that it's even those who don't have a lot of knowledge and a lot of koach. Why? Dichtiv, lo yosif, pen yosif. They tell you, don't add any more, right? Lest you add more, and you'll be makeh, makara, ba? And Iyamar, bishlama chasire mada, hainu ditzarich lazhure. Ela Iyamar yitire mada, mitzarich lazhure. His whole logic, right, the logic to prove his point is, if they were smart and not so strong, you wouldn't need to tell them, don't do any more. Of course they're not going to do any more. First of all, they're not so strong. And second of all, they're smart enough to know not to do it. Who do you really need to warn about this? The people who are strong and are not so bright. So isn't it obvious? But now what are Rabbanan going to say? If you really think it's only the Yitirei Mada, then why would you need to say this? Rabbanan, Ein Mizarzin, Ela Lemizarez. Okay, we only warn the people who will actually listen to the warning. So in other words, right, even, and one of the proof texts given for this is Yehoshua. How many times does God say to Yehoshua, Chazak v'amatz? What, he didn't need this, right? He was already a mizoraz. But even someone who's a mizoraz and knows how to do things, right, still needs to be told by God what to do. So here also, we need to tell them, don't hit too much, because they're actually going to listen. Tana. Okay, I was thinking of when you do backhand in tennis. So one of the ways people do it is you move two hands back and then you hit with one hand. So it sounds like the same way. And why do you do that? Because you get a lot of force in it when you go back with two, but then you hit with one. So that's what they're saying here. Kihecha de, is that the word delete or is it a different word? Detite. Right, there's a different gear, so you're detite merzayah or delete medide. The point is that it will come, that it'll be a strong makkah. Hakore kore. So if you remember, we had in the Mishnah, we ended off yesterday with all these psukim that the Dayan says. Tanu Rabbanan. So now the rabbis say it goes like this. I told you there were three Dayanim. Here we're going to see it. Hagadol sheba Dayanim kore. One of them, the gadol of the Dayanim, he's the one who reads the psukim. Hasheni moneh, the second one counts. Vashlishi omer, hikau. Okay, and he says, hit him. Bizman shemakam meruba, ma'arich. Bizman shemakam mu'etet, mekatzer. Okay, first of all, I just want to go back for a minute. I'm trying to think about why the gadol sheba Dayanim is the one who reads the psukim. Right, and the second one is the one moneh. First of all, you might think that's the most careful job because you can mess up and someone could accidentally die. But on the other hand, what's really the most important are the psukim, because the psukim are the ideas that we want to make the person, and this is going to lead us to the next Mishnah, we want to make the person do tshuva, really. So the psukim are a very important element of the malkot, because we want to remind him why this is happening and encourage him to do tshuva.
It also goes from least culpability to most.
So we don't want the Gadol Sheba Dayanim to get involved at all. Even though we say in the end the Dayan is not responsible if there's an accidental death, but you're saying, I like that idea, which is we want to keep him as far away from responsibility as possible.
He's also the eldest, and he's too weak to...
Well, all they have to do is count. If he can't count, then he shouldn't be a Dayan. Unfortunately, we know sometimes there's Dayanim that in the system here that get too old and they're not really right way to be Dayanim anymore, but they're stuck in the tenured system and, you know, so anyway.
It's also the most prestigious of the three jobs.
To read a pasuk, right, rather than to count, which is a little, and then to say hit, it's also unpleasant. So, right, it could be out of kavod to him, not to make him do the more demeaning jobs. It's interesting that the Dayanim actually do them and not people who work for the court. Okay. So now, what does this mean? Bizman shemakam ruba, if the person was assessed to get 39 lashes, then ma'arich, then he slowly reads the psukim. Bizman shemakam u'etet mikatzer, he reads them quickly. So then the Gemara says, why would you bother? Because v'hanantan, doesn't it say in the Mishnah, chozer l'tchilat ha-mikra, right? If you finish, then just keep reading them again. So why do you have to ma'arich? So what do they answer? Mitzvah litzamtzem. It's adif. The ideal is to have it fit exactly, match the psukim to the timing of the makot. Bim lo tzimtzem. Well, if you didn't, though, chozer l'tchilat ha-mikra. It's better, but it doesn't have to be. Tanu rabbanan. Makar rabba. Okay, so the pasuk says, I'll read the pasuk again. Vayayin bin akot harasha, vipilo ha-shofet vikau lefanav, kedei rishato b'mispar, arba'im yakenu lo yosif, pen yosif lahakoto al ele makah rabba. Okay, lest you come to hit him a makah rabba, v'niklachich aleinecha. Now we said that v'niklachich aleinecha was both, went on both sides, right? In other words, don't hit him, makah rabba, and then you'll totally humiliate him. On the other hand, we use it to say, but you're supposed to totally humiliate him. So this makah rabba is also going to go two ways. Because makah rabba also sounds like, don't hit him, makah rabba, in other words, too many hits. But then we're going to see that it also could be understood as something you're supposed to do. You're also supposed to hit him, makah rabba. Makah rabba, ein li ela makah rabba, makah mu'etet minayin. So now they say, it sounds like you can't hit him any extra, lest you might come to hit him a makah rabba. What if you came to hit him a makah mu'etet? Maybe you'd be patur. Let's say you did a 40th lash and it was a very light one. So what, you wouldn't be chayav? Talmud lamar, lo yosif. Now, so it says, lo yosif means don't add anything. So then the Gemara says, in ke matamu lomar makah rabba, limer ala rishonot shehem makah rabba. So since makah rabba doesn't really belong there, because it could even be a makah mu'etet, they say makah rabba must be teaching us about how you're supposed to hit him and not how you're not supposed to do the extra, you know, how the extra one's not supposed to be. Nitzkalkel. Now we get back to this lovely issue of what if they defecate or urinate while they're having the malkot. Tano abanan, echad ha'ish ve'echad ha'isha b'ri'i v'lo b'mayim divrei Rabbi Meir. That's different from what we saw in our Mishnah, right? Rabbi Meir didn't appear in our Mishnah. Rabbi Meir says, both the man and the woman is only if they defecate and not urinate. Rabbi Yehuda omer, ha'ish b'ri'i v'ha'isha b'mayim. That matches what our Mishnah said. V'chachamim omrim, this also matches our Mishnah, echad ha'ish ve'echad ha'isha b'ein b'ri'i b'ein b'mayim. Now the Gemara says, wait a minute though, so that matches our Mishnah, plus it adds Rabbi Meir's opinion. But the Hatanya, there's a Braita that says a different one. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Chad Ha'ish V'Chad Ha'isha B'ri'i. Which sounds like if the woman urinates, she's also not Patur. Amar Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak, Shnehem Shavim B'ri'i. What he means is, they're both Shavim when it comes to Ri'i. However, right, the woman, also if she urinates. And it doesn't say that, but you still could fit that statement of Rabbi Meir, of Rabbi Yehuda in, because it doesn't necessarily contradict. It's just saying that when it comes to Re'i, both the man and the woman go free, they're done. And it just doesn't relate to urinating. So that's why it doesn't contradict. Amar Shmuel, kaftuhu b'ratz mibeitim patur. If they tie him to the amud, that's where we started, right? The first step of the process is they tie him to an amud. If they tie him to an amud and he runs away, he's patur. Okay? He doesn't have to get malkot after that. Why would that be? Because the assumption is, it's already enough of an embarrassment. So now at this point, we're going to assume that what? What was the embarrassment? That he was tied up. Okay? Later, we're going to see it's something else. But right now, we assume that it's because he was tied up. And if he runs away, we don't need to give him lashes after this. Metive, but now we have a contradiction. Kala bein barishona bein bashnia potrinoto. 1 second. Kala. This is Kala. Ah, Kala means that the person defecated. Okay? If they defecate, Bein barishona, bein bashnia potrin oto. Whether it's during the first makah or the second makah, it doesn't matter. They already go free. Nifsika ritzua bashnia, potrin oto. Okay, if the ritzua breaks, okay, it tears, while they're doing the second hit, then they're patur. Barishona, ein potrin oto. But if it rips before the first makah, you go up to hit the person, and it breaks, it tears, ein potrinoto. So now the Gemara says, why ein potrinoto am I? Lehavi kirat. So at that point, he's already been bound, right? So if he's already been bound, why is he any different from someone who runs away? And why shouldn't he be patur? Because obviously in the Ratz case, he didn't get any malkot. So why in this case do you need to get one lash first? Hatam ratz, hacha lo ratz. So what do they say? What's the part that was embarrassing? It was humiliating for him to have to run away. Right? Imagine you're running away from the court. Everyone sees you running. Right? Imagine if you see like a police chasing someone on the street. You look at that guy, you say, oh my God, look, the police are chasing him. What an embarrassment. So it was enough of an embarrassment for him or her to be running away that's what it is, and it's not the fact that they got bound up. So binding someone is not enough of an embarrassment. Tana Rabbanan. Amduhu lechishi yoke. If while they're assessing amduhu lechishi yoke yikle. Okay, what is it? This is a play on words. Yoke yikle. They assessed that if you start to hit this person, remember they do some sort of medical assessment. So they assess this person that if you start to hit him, the person's going to defecate. So potrinoto. Just that type of an assessment is enough to humiliate the person, and they're already patur. L'cheshe mi beitin yikle or kala malkinoto. But if the assessment is that they're going to get the lashes, and only after the lashes are over they're going to defecate, then they get the lashes, because it has to be that the defecating comes from the lashes itself and not after the act. Velod ella filu kala b'tchila malkinoto. Or also, if he defecates just out of fear before they even start, then malkinoto. Shneimar v'ikau v'nikle velo shalakak far b'beitin. It has to be that they hit him and then he defecates, or she defecates, and not that they already did it from before. Okay. Now we're going to start getting to, I would say, a little off the nitty-gritty of the halacha and into the more philosophical realm. Okay, interestingly, the same way Sanhedrin ended with all this, Kol Yisrael Yesh Lam Chelek Olam Haba, Makot ends much in a similar way. Kol Chayev, except it's much shorter than Perek Chelek. Kol Chayevei Kritot Shelaku, Niftiru Yidei Kritatam, Shenemar V'nikle Achicha Leinecha. Kishelaka harehu ke'achicha, divrei Rabbi Chananya ben Gamliel. Rabbi Chananya ben Gamliel comes and says that we started off the perek, that if you get malkot, right, that if you get malkot for anything you're chayev karet for, comes the Mishnah and ends by saying, and it's like a frame, frames the Mishnah, that anyone who got malkot, who was chayev kritut and got malkot, he now is pater from karet. It's a pretty bold statement, okay? Now, the Rambam, very interestingly, in his Perush HaMishnah, says that this is only if the person does tshuva. Okay? Not everybody agrees with that. Some people say that just the malkot enough, and that's why I said we're going to get back to here, about the bizayon, that the bizayon and about the psukim, that the idea is to get him to do tshuva, or her to do tshuva. So here, the idea being that the tshuva, part of the malko process is again, according to the Rambam, you have to also do tshuva. And maybe that's why the psukim are there. Lo'orera otala tshuva. But according to others, no. Just the act of malkot already removes the karet entirely, which is a really big deal to say. Even the Rambam, right? Even saying if you do tshuva, you can repeal karet is also pretty big. Okay, Okay, so comes Rabbi Hanani ben Gamliel and says, if you do one avera, you lose your life over this. Now he gets into, again, like I said, it's like schar va'onesh, right? So both onesh and schar we're going to discuss now. If you do one mitzvah, all the more so, shetinaten lo nafsho, that you're going to have a good life or a long life. Rabbi Shimon Omer, mimkomo hulameh. We learned it exactly from where it talks about karet, about this concept. We're going to have a lot of different opinions here. They don't necessarily, it's not necessarily a machloket. He says we can learn it straight from the area where it talks about karet. B'nichritu ha'nefashot ha'osot, right? That's in the Arayot. V'omer, and it says in the beginning of the section, asher ya'aseh ha'adam v'chai bahem. Right? So what does it mean? That if you do the mitzvot, ha'kol yosheva lo avar avera, notnim lo sachar kose mitzvah. It goes even farther. Not just if you're mekayem a mitzvah, but if you don't do an avera, you're going to have kiyum ha'olam, right? So if you do an avera, you should not tell nafsho, but if you don't do an avera, you get a sachar like an oseh mitzvah. Rabbi Shimon bar Rebbe omer, harehu omer rak chazak lebilti echol adam, ki adam hu anefesh. So here's a mitzvah that's an interesting one. What does it say, right? You should be strong so as not to eat the dam, because the dam is the nefesh. So they say, why does it say rak chazak, right? What do you mean? It's nobody wants to eat dam. Right? It's gross to eat the blood, of course. And the man's going to be disgusted by it anyway. And yet, you're going to get reward for not doing that, for not eating the blood. Okay, so all the more so if you don't steal and you don't do a riot, which are much more tempting than eating blood. Okay, so therefore, alachakam v'kama, you and future generations, and they say even to sof kol adorot. Okay, Rabbi Chanan Yemen Akashi Omer, Ratzah Kadosh Baruch Hu lezakot et Yisrael. Okay, like I said, these don't contradict each other, they're just different statements. God wanted to give merits to the Jewish people. Lefichach hirbah lahem Torah u'mitzvot she'nemar Hashem chafetz leman tzidko yadil Torah v'yadir. Okay, in order to give people reward, God made lots of, right, this is answering people, why do we have so many mitzvot? It's in order so that God could reward us. Okay. Now we're going to go back to the statement about Rabbi Hananya ben Gamliel, that who basically said that if you get malkot, you no longer have karet. Amar Rabbi Yochanan, chalukim alav chaverav Rabbi Hanina ben Gamliel. Rabbi Yochanan says, by the way, people don't agree with this statement. Amar Rav Adbar Av, Amar Bei Rav, Taninan, ein ben Shabbat liyom kippurim, ela shezez dono bidei adam, vezez dono bi karet. Okay, here he's bringing a Mishnah from Megillah, if you remember all the ein bens. So there's no difference between Shabbat and Yom Kippurim, except that Shabbat you get skila, and Yom Kippur you get karet. Now he's going to use this as a proof text against Rabbi Hananya ben Gamliel. He's going to say v'im ita, and if he was right, Rabbi Hananya ben Gamliel, idi v'idi bidei adam hu. Both of them would be bidei adam, because in essence, karet is really synonymous with malkot. If malkot erases your karet, then basically it's malkot, and malkot is bidei adam, so it really wouldn't be a difference. So Rav Nachman Amar, Rav Nachman, it should be someone, not just without. No, it's in parentheses. So I'm just looking at the note, and it says, take these words out. Rav Nachman Omer, right, there were different Rav Nachmans. Rav Nachman Omer, Hamane, Rabbi Yitzchaki. No, don't use that. That Mishnah goes like Rabbi Yitzchak. Damar, Malkot b'chai v'kritu leka. Okay, do you remember, we had this whole detanya. Okay, we'll read it inside, and then we'll go back. Rabbi Yitzchak Omer, chai v'kritu b'chlalayu, v'lama yatza karet b'chotot. We learned this at the very beginning of the parak. L'dono b'karet v'lo b'malkot. Right, why does it say achoto with karet? It's to tell you, they only get karet, they don't get anything else. And he thought, if you remember, there were three opinions there. He thought the chai v'kritu, there was chai v'kritu and mito beitin get malkot. One said only chai v'kritu, and he said even chai v'kritu don't get malkot. So therefore, we say ein bein Shabbat liyom kippurim must be according to his opinion that there is no malkot. But if there were malkot, it would say there would be dead down. Rav Ashi Amar filu tamer Rabbanan. Rav Ashi says no, I could still explain that Mishnah. Even if you say it's Rabbanan who do think you get malkot, still why do they say one is bidei adam and one is bidei shamayim, or one is bekaret? Yes, it's true you can get rid of the karet by malkot, but if you didn't get malkot, what would you end up with? Karet. And that's the ikar punishment there. While you might be able to get rid of the punishment, it's still the ikar punishment. And therefore it said it. And it doesn't necessarily mean that it disagrees with Rabbi Chanina ben Gamliel. Amrav adabar ava, amarav halacha ke Rabbi Chanina ben Gamliel. It is a very strange statement. Immediately when I read this, I said, that's odd. And then I saw the Gemara also thought so. So Rav Adbar Ava says, the halacha is like Rabbi Chanani ben Gamliel, which means the halacha is if you get malkot, you don't get curry. What's the problem? What does it mean to pasken halacha in this way, right? You're basically saying, oh, God's not going to give you curry. Yeah. How do you know? Okay, so the Gemara immediately jumps and says, Amar Rav Yosef, man salik le'ela va'ata va'amar. Who went up to Shemayim and came down and told you this fact? Right? What God does he give karet or does he not? Amar le'abaye, elahad amar Rav Yeshua ben Levi. It's like what Rav Yeshua ben Levi says. Shlosha dvarim asu beitin shalmata, v'iskimu beitin shalmala al yadam. So there were three things that the beitin shalmata did, and the beitin shalmala agreed with them. So now, they ask him, Rav Yeshua ben Levi, Man salik le'el avata va'amar. How do we know that the Beit Din Shalmala agreed with the Beit Din Shalmata? Did someone go up there and check with the court in the heavens? No. Ela kri kadarshinan. They darshin psukim. In other words, it's not that he knows the halachas that way. He's just assessing that I think the halachas that way based on what I know and based on what I learned, etc. So same thing, and here's our proof for Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, it was the same thing. Hachanami kri kadarshinan, right? Just like there, he darshin psukim. Also here, Darshim Sukim. Now we want to know, what did Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi say? Gufa. Amar Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, Shlosha dvarim asu beitin shamata v'iskimu beitin shamala al yadam, ve'elu hen, mikra megillah, okay, the fact that we read the megillah, we make Purim, she'elat shalom b'shem, that you're supposed to greet people with Shem Hashem, v'hava'at ma'aser. Okay, there's a whole debate about what this hava'at ma'aser is. The assumption is we're talking about lefachot, that they, in the time of Ezra, and possibly also Malachi, some people say Malachi was Ezra, and it's all talking about the same thing. And even in the time of Chizkiyahu, earlier, historically, it seems this also happened, which is, instead of people giving Truma Namastro to their friend, the Kohen or the Levi, they were all instructed to bring it to the Beit HaMikdash. And particularly in the time of Ezra, the reason why they did it was a knas against the Levim, because, well, okay, there were two issues. One is that. Two is that the Kohanim also were able to take the Maaser, and that was a knas against the Levim because most of the Levim didn't come on Aliyah LaRegel when Ezra called them, and therefore he punished them and said, well, the Kohanim are going to get your chelek. And there's a third suggestion the Ravan says, which was that also, that not only are you chayav reshit dagan tirosh v'yitzar, which is the dganim, right, the five dganim, the five grains, Tirosh, the grapes, and Yitzhar is the Shemen Zayi, you know, the Zaytim. But also on Perot Ha'ilan and Yerakot, you have to bring Maestrot. So it could be either or, it could be all these. The Rivan brings all three. Tosfot thinks that the Rivan is saying it's either this or this or this, that he's not necessarily saying all of them. Some people think the Rivan is holding all of them. Anyway, there was a Takana about Maestrot, and we're going to see that Iskimu Bebetin Shomala. So now we're going to have to go through each three and see where do we see. Mikra Megillah Dichtiv, what does it say in the Megillah? Kimu v'kiblu ayudim. Why does it say kimu v'kiblu? Kimu lamala masha kiblu lamata. Okay, that's how they understand kimu v'kiblu. Right? People compare it to Naseh v'nishma. Right? So here they understand it as up above, they agreed on what they did down below. She'elat shalom dichtiv, v'ine boaz ba'mi beit lechem, v'yomer lakotzrim, Hashem imachem. That's how he greets them. Ve'omer, in Gid'on, the Malach comes to Gid'on and says, Hashem imcha gibor hachayim. Okay, so my ve'omer, why does he have to bring the second pasuk? V'chi tema boaz hu da'avim midate, just because Boaz says it doesn't mean that Hashem agreed. U'mishmai lo askimu al yado, tashma, therefore brings the second pasuk where it comes a Malach. And what words does the Malach use? V'omer Hashem imcha gibor hachayim. Hava'at maaser, dichtiv, haviu et kol maaser al beit ha'otzar. This is from Malachi. Biterf bebeiti, ubachanuni na bezot amar Hashem tzvaot. Im lo avtach lachem et arubot ha'shamayim v'arifoti lachem brocha ablidai. So they say, bring all the maaser to the beit ha'otzar, and it should be food in my house. And God said, Right, I will test you with this. You can test me with this. That as a result of you doing that, I will open the Arubot HaShamayim, Barikot HaLechem, and I'm going to give you a bracha abli dai. What does it mean, abli dai? My abli dai, Amar Rabbi Barav, ad she'echlu siftotecha milomar dai. Until your lips are so dry that you're going to say dai. Okay, that's how much bracha I'm going to give you. Okay, last thing for today. Amar Rabbi Elazar, b'shloshah mekamot hofia ruach hakodesh. Okay, the Ruach HaKodesh came down. Where is this? Bebeit Dino Shel Shem, Ubebeit Dino Shel Shmuel Aramati, Ubebeit Dino Shel Shlomo. Okay, which of the cases? And tomorrow we're going to go into the cases in more detail. Bebeit Dino Shel Shem, Dichtiv, Vayakar Yehuda, Vayomer Tzadka Mimeni. How did Yehuda know that she was right, that Tamar was really pregnant with his son? Just because she showed him his stuff, the makel and all that, it doesn't mean that she was pregnant with him. She could have slept with other men. How could he have possibly known? So when he said Tzadka Mimeni, he realized from Ruach HaKodesh. Okay, tomorrow we're going to suggest with all three of these, maybe it wasn't Ruach HaKodesh, maybe it was intuition or, you know, something else. Here, I'm going through the first one. Mina yada, dilma keechi da azal iu l'sham, l'kabe azal nami inishachmine l'sham, this is explaining it. How did he know? Maybe someone else went and slept with her. L'kaba, yatsa bat kova amra mimeni yatsu kvushim. Okay, so now they're saying that tzadka mimeni, what does it mean, mimeni? That the Ruach HaKodesh told him that she was pregnant with his child. Okay, so tomorrow we're going to go through the three cases. Okay, that was the first one. We'll go through the next few and see where we know that, which case do we see the Ruach HaKodesh came, and then we're going to question, really, was it Ruach HaKodesh, or maybe they figured it out some other way.